Morning. Today's daf in Sukkah Ches. We are on the very bottom of Zion and base, and today a little bit of geometry. The Gemara is going to try to figure out what happens when you make our sukkah circular and what size does it need to be. And so we're going to be working today with circle squares, and a couple of theorems to boot. Okay, the reason why we got here is, we're discussing the dimensions of a sukkah. That's what we've been doing since the beginning of the Masechta. And so now the Gemara is going to have a brief, although really we'll cover half of today's daf, a brief discussion regarding what will be the requirement of a circle in terms of its circumference if in fact you decide to make a circular sukkah. It's obvious from the Gemara that making a circular sukkah is fine. Now, it becomes a little bit challenging because the Mishnah tells us that you need three walls for the sukkah. So exactly when you're building your circular sukkah, so how much of it needs to be enclosed? So that's a tricky question, and I don't have a great answer. But nevertheless, it's totally legitimate to make the circle circular. And the only thing the Gemara is going to be seeking right now is to find out, well, if it's circular, so how big does it have to be? We'll talk in terms of its diameter. We'll talk in terms of its circumference. So, with that stated, so let's start off with the Pesach of Rav Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says the following. Sukkah, so you have a kifshan. So let's say you make your sukkah like a kifshan. Now, kifshan is a furnace. And I guess back in the day, the furnaces were circular. Okay, so you make it circular. So im yesh be kefo kedei leyeshev ba chav dal b'nei adam k'sher avim la psula, says the Mishnah, that if I have it where 24 people could sit around, so then it would be kosher. And if not, so then it would be pasul. So basically now, if we could just imagine our sukkah now being circular, 24 people sitting, making a perimeter around the sukkah. Right now, we're of course assuming that they're inside the sukkah. So basically what we're looking at now is a circumference of 24 people. Now, a circumference of 24 people is how much in terms of a linear measurement. So that means, well, let's make the following assumptions. Let's assume that a person is an amma wide. Okay. I know some are more, some are less. But let's say that a person is an amma wide. Now, that assumption that a person is an amma wide, so throughout Shas, we make that assumption. You'll remember back in Yuma, we described that a kosher mikvah is going to be one amma by one amma by three ammas. Why? Because a person can fit his total body into such an apparatus. Okay, good. So throughout, and there are a number of other examples throughout Shas, but in other words, the width of a person is an amma. That's a general assumption that we make. Yeah. So if a width of a person is an amma, so now 24 people, that's 24 ammas. We're talking about a circumference of 24 ammas. Now, what is that in terms of a diameter? So in terms of a diameter, so we're going to do the following, and that is that we're not going to operate with pi, but we're going to operate with a ratio of 3:1. Why? Because that's what the Gemara does all the time. Whenever we're describing a relationship between the circumference and diameter, so we know mathematically the relationship is pi, right? Pi is just simply a way of describing an irrational number. In other words, the number is 3.14, and then it goes on from that point, right, ad infinitum. But meanwhile, the Chachamim, in terms of measuring, so they rounded, and they rounded to three, they rounded a simple 3:1 ratio. There's a relationship between circumference and diameter. And as far as the Chachamim, why they did that, so first of all, it's easy. And secondly, because we find actually precedent in the Navi. All right, Yamshel Shlomo, the Gemara in Erevin, right? You've heard me say this before. It's easy to remember where to find in Erevin. Erevin is the third Masechta in Shas. This is my Mishigas. It's fine. Erevin is the third Masechta in Shas, and you're going to find it on Daf Yadalid, 3.14. Okay, it's cute. So so on Daf Yadalid in Erevin, so the Gemara over there points out that when the Navi describes, it's a Malachim. When the Navi describes Yamshel Shlomo, Shlomo built a let's call it a really big mikvah. So when he built it, the relationship over there, when it describes the circumference and when it describes the diameter, it gave a relationship of 3:1. Okay, it wasn't 3:1, but in other words, the ratio was 3:1. And so from that point going forward, the Chachamim said, good. So we could describe the relationship by 3:1, even though it's short of the mark in terms of the numbers that we know. But nevertheless, that's the relationship. So if the circumference is 24, so what's the diameter? Diameter is 8. That's really large. And when I say really large, consider, I'm talking about 8 ammas. What's the minimum sukkah? A minimum sukkah is 7x7 tfachim. You could fit, right, I know I don't, right, if you saw this visually, you'd understand. You could fit multiple sukkahs in this structure, that what Rav Yochanan's describing, where the diameter is 8 amas, right? A kosher sukkah is a little bit over 1 amma. Good. So now, what we're going to do, we're going to spend the first part of today's daf. It's really literally the first amud of today's daf. What we're going to try to do is try to figure out how Rav Yochanan got to such an enormous sukkah, where I need 24 people sitting on the around its circumference. How did he get there? Good. So that's the first part of today's daf. And mind you, by the way, that as we'll get to the end of it, so we'll realize that when Rav Yochanan was describing a sukkah, he wasn't talking about the halacha that you and I know. The halacha that you and I know is that a sukkah needs to be just a little bit over an amma, 7 by 7 tefachim, right? That's a sukkah that we know. Obviously, if you're going to make a circle around our kosher sukkah, so it's going to be significantly less. You're not going to have 24 people sitting around it. You'll have maybe 2, maybe not even. No, I mean right now we're just using people as a proxy for measurement. That's what we're doing right now. Okay, good. So anyway, so the imla psula. So come on. So now the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to try to do now is that Rav Yochanan has a sukkah being a circumference of 24. Like, how did he get there? So come on, Karebi Damar Kol Sukkah Sheimba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Psula. So the Gemara says, oh, okay, fine. So it must be that his starting point is that he holds like Rebbe. Where Rebbe says that a minimum kosher sukkah is 4 by 4 amas. Okay, good. So michti. So gavra b'amsa yasif. Okay, so the Gemara says, so now let's think this through. So how much does a person take up? A person takes up an amma. Again, for most of today's daf, that's going to be our assumption. There will be just a moment in time in today's daf where we're going to try to figure that maybe a person can squeeze in. But right now, a person's an amma. Good. And it's such easy numbers to work with. Good. So the Gemara says, now, if the hekef is 3, so the rochav, the diameter, is going to be 1. Okay, so in other words, the relationship between circumference and diameter is 3 to 1. So the Gemara says, so good. So now if I'm working with Rebbe's number where Rebbe says that a sukkah is 4 by 4, now I know that's a square, but right now, let's just take the number 4. Okay? So if 4 is the diameter, I understand right now it's not. But let's just say if 4 is the diameter, so then what is that circle going around? So that circle we're going around is 4 times 3, 12. So betrace our saga. So I only need now 12 people sitting around. So the Gemara says, 1 second. As we turn to the top of Chesam and Aleph. So hani mila bi'igula. Good. That's if we're making a circle. But remember, the starting point is that we need a square. But over here we have a square, so the Gemara says michti. So kama meruba yoser al ha'igol revia. So b'shitza sagi. So the Gemara says okay. So but fine. So let's take our circle and let's put a square around it. Now the circle with a diameter of 4 is going to have a circumference of 12. Now if I take a square and put that around the circle, so how many people are going to be sitting around that square? So it's going to be 16. Okay, and the relationship between circle inscribed in a square is basically the ratio of 3 to 4. And again, by the way, it's really easy to think about it because when we are talking about a circle inscribed in a square, by the way, even in a standard Gemara, you don't need fancy pictures over here. Just look at the top picture over here. Circle inscribed in a square. So that circle is going to have a circumference of 3. And, in other words, just to make my point. In other words, let's just assume that the diameter is 1. It's not 1. In this case, it happens to be 4. But it's not going to change the point. Let's say the diameter is 1. So now what's the circumference going to be? 3. Again, they're operating with an assumption that a relationship between diameter and circumference is 3 to 1. So it's going to be 3. Now, what about that square that goes around the circle? Well, if the diameter is 1, so the side of the square is also going to be 1, which means now that the perimeter of that square is going to be 4. Okay, good. So the relationship between circle inscribed in a square is in terms of circumference to perimeter is going to be 3 to 4. So now, if we've established that the circle is going to have 12 people standing around it, so now the square is going to have 16 people around it. Okay, so the Gemara says, now 16 people, we are well short of what Rav Yochanan wants. Rav Yochanan wants 24 people around. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, we're just going to have to make a really short adjustment, michti. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. Kama, second line down on Chesem Adalf. So Kama, Ru Yosar Le Eagle Revia. Bishitzo Sagi. I'm sorry, I read that already. Hani Mila Bi Igula Denafik Migo Revua. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, you're starting off with the wrong assumption. That's where the circle inscribed in a square. Ava Revu Denafik Migo Igula by Itve. But over here, we're talking about a circle around a square. Now, why are we talking about a circle around a square? It's actually very easy. Because remember, we'll start off with Rebbe Sukkah. Rebbe Sukkah needs to be 4x4 amos. Good. That's a square. Now what we want to do is that we want to make it circular. You don't put the circle in the square, because that obviously cuts out the corners. We're going to make the circle around the square. Picture number two in your Gemara. Right? In other words, again, not a fancy Gemara, just your standard Gemara. That's picture number two. So now what we're going to try to figure out is if that the circle is going around the square. So now what's the circumference of that circle? Okay, so now we're going to need geometry. Good. Now, it happens to be that the Gemara doesn't have geometry, but the Gemara, you know, rounds to the numbers that, you know, it rounds to. The discrepancy between the Gemara's numbers and, you know, and using geometry are going to be a small discrepancy. That's fine. And the truth of the matter is that we already are operating with a discrepancy. Because when we talked about a circle and we talked about the relationship between circumference and diameter, so we were using 3 to 1. Okay, it's a rounding number. In other words, actual is going to be more because we obviously, geometry will tell us that it'll be closer to 3.14. Okay, fine. So over here, we're using the Gemara's numbers, obviously, and the Gemara's numbers are not working with precision as we know geometry, but it's still not going to change the basic points that we're about to make. So the Gemara says, okay, so igula baitfe, mishum mursa de kornasa. So, if we're now making the square in the circle, so where does our square start off? Our square starts off at 4x4 amos. Now, what are we looking for? We're looking for the diameter of the circle. Well, that's very easy. In other words, the diameter of the circle is created by the hypotenuse of the square. So all we need to do now is just figure out the hypotenuse of the square, and now we're going to get to the diameter of that circle, and then we'll multiply that by 3, and then we're ready to go. So the Gemara says, okay, so what is the hypotenuse of that square? So what we know is what's called Pythagorean theorem. Meaning, we'll figure it out because we'll say a squared plus b squared equals c squared. And we'll figure out the hypotenuse of that square. Good. So, back in the day, so did they have Pythagorean theorem? So, the truth of the matter is, the answer is yes. Right? Whether or not Pythagorean came up with a theory, yes or no, right? It's ancient history and right? We don't know for sure. But he got credit and he did it or not. So he lived. I did a little bit of crack research last night. So he lived about the same time as Binyan by Sheni, the building of the second temple, approximately. So they had the theorem. So right, but for our purposes right now, they had it. They didn't have it. They got it mostly right in terms of the numbers they work with. Michte kol amta b'rivua amta v'trei chumsha ba'achsona. So the Gemara says, look, in terms of how to figure out going from side of square to hypotenuse, so the relationship is 1 to 1 2/5. Okay. Right? We would simply describe it over here as the square root of 2. Right? In other words, simple geometry, you would describe it as square root of 2. A square root of 2 over here because it happens to be that the two sides are equal. We're talking about a square. So a squared plus b squared, but a squared and b squared are the same number. So it's really 2a squared. So it's the square root of 2, right? 2a squared equals c squared. So it comes out to the square root of 2. Okay, fine. So we would express the hypotenuse as the square root of 2. The Gemara describes it as 1 and 2/5. Okay. It's right. It's close and it works. So the Gemara says, b'shifsar nechi chimsha saya. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, when I'm taking my circle and going around the square, so the hypotenuse is going to come out to the hypotenuse itself is going to come out to 5 3/5. And now I'm going to do now is in order to, the hypotenuse is the diameter. So that I'll just take that number and I'll multiply by 3. And what am I going to get to? 16 4/5. Okay. 16 4/5. So the Gemara says, okay, 16 4/5 now is the circumference I need in order to make a kasher sukkah, even according to Rebbe. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's go back to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, what does your circumference need to be? Your circumference needs to be 24. What? We just did the math, and we just figured out that it's 16 4/5. So the Gemara says, low duck. The Gemara says, well, Rav Yochanan was imprecise. He rounded up. the Gemara says, okay, there's rounding up, and then of course there's round, there's rounding up. So Amar, and that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar damin lo dak porta. So tuva mi amrinan, lo dak. Okay, so if I actually need 16 and 4/5, and Rav Yochanan comes out with a psaka that says that really you need 24 amas, come on. The Gemara says that's untenable. So Amar le, Mark Yashisha, Breda Rav Chisla Rav Ashi. So what we're going to try to do now is they're going to try to massage the numbers. Okay. Now it's math, by the way, and it's hard to massage numbers. It's hard to massage numbers. Not impossible.
Then Rabbi Yochanan said that the 24 weeks stand around. Why couldn't we have to go not side by side, but behind each other?
Okay, so
the width we left.
Okay, good. There are a couple of ways in which we're going to try to massage the numbers. So the Gemara, your proposal is coming up. So the Gemara says, Marka Shisha Barida Rav Chisla Le Rav Ashi. Mi Yisrael Gavra Ba'amta Yosef Tasa Gavra Betarti Amta Yosve. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's the first way we're going to try to massage the numbers. And that is that we assume that, remember, Rav Yochanan expressed himself not in terms of Amas, but in terms of people. Okay, 24 people. We assume that a person's an Amma. Again, that's throughout Shas, that's the assumption. Right now the Gemara says, how about this? How about a person's 2/3 of an Amma? Okay. We do this all the time, by the way. In other words, if you ever have the opportunity of hosting, so you know, how many people can we fit around the table? Well, if we squeezed, so basically the Gemara is trying to do that right now. If we squeezed 24 people, really, so we can assume that a person's going to occupy not an amma, but 2/3 of an amma. We'll squeeze them in there. So the Gemara says, okay, now, if we are assuming now that three people could sit within two ammas, so basically what we're going to now do is that we can knock everything down by a third. So kama velu shitzar. So when he says 24 people, 24 people comes out to 16. Okay. 16 amas. So now we're talking about a circumference of 16 amas. But now we're much closer. The problem, of course, is that the way we did the math, it comes out, how much of a circumference do we need? 16 and 4/5. What is Rav Yochanan saying? 16. Okay. Well, now, on one hand, we're a lot closer. On the other hand, what did Rav Yochanan do? He rounded down. And the Gemara says, well, that's not good. And the Gemara says, Anan shivsar nechi chum shabi inan. So the Gemara says, lo dak. So we need 16 and 4/5, and Rav Yochanan is saying 16. Again, remember, how is he saying 16? Because we're assuming 24 people, every person really occupies 2/3 of an amma. So we just basically knocked the number down by a third. So in other words, we went from 24 to 16. So that's what Rav Yochanan is saying. Rav Yochanan is saying 16. We really need 16 and 4/5. So the Gemara says, okay, I rounded down. The Gemara says, wait one second. Eimad amrin lo dak l'chomer, l'kula mi amrin lo dak. You can't do that. In other words, you can't round down. Why? Because remember, we're talking about the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. And if we need 16 and 4/5, and Rav Yochanan says, 16 is enough, 16 is not enough. Because then we need a minimum dimension of a sukkah. So he's providing a kula, but it's not a kula. In other words, he's describing a sukkah that's simply not kosher. Okay? So, Amalei Rav Asi, la Rav Ashi, la Olam Gav Rav Amta Yosef. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back. Okay, we tried massaging the numbers that way. It doesn't, not only does it not work, but it doesn't work. In other words, a person really occupies an amma. Okay, so now we're back to a person occupying an amma. So again, so when Rav Yochanan is describing 24 people around the sukkah, so 24 people is equivalent to 24 ammas. Okay, now, problem is that sukkah is way too big. And we pointed out that we only need a circumference of 16 and 4/5. So how do we get from 24 to 16 and 4/5? So the Gemara says, here's how we're going to work the numbers. Rav Yochanan makom gavrei lo kechashiv. So the Gemara says that when Rav Yochanan was talking about the 24 around the circle, they were not in the circle, they were outside the circle. If you want a great visual, they were holding the hula hoop. Okay, from the outside. So now, what does that mean? Okay, so how big now is our hula hoop? Right, so it's obviously going to be significantly smaller. Well, let's express that in numbers. What does that mean, significantly smaller? Well, if I have now, let's assume that the people, right, that are around the hula hoop, so they're 24, right? So now, what does that mean in terms of the diameter? Diameter is 8. Okay, again, with working with a relationship of 3 to 1, so a circumference of 24 is going to be a diameter of 8. But in other words, but if we're talking about the circle that's interior to them, so we knock off an amma on each side. So that now means that our diameter now is 6. 6 times 3, 18. 18. So the Gemara says, Kama havaluhu tam nesrei. So the Gemara says, now it comes out to 18. Good. So the Gemara says, 18, that's great. Remember what was the actual? Actual was 16 and 4 fifths. So the Gemara says, b'shifsa nechich chumsha sagya. So hainu dolo dak ulo chumra lo dak. So the Gemara says, now it works out. It works out really well. In other words, he rounded, but he rounded up, and rounding up is fine. In other words, what he gave is a bit of a cushion. Now, he could have rounded up to 17, admittedly, but he rounded up to 18, and here's my proposal in terms of why. 18 is just an easier number to work with, right? Right, 18, you could divide, you could, right? It's a whole number, it's not a prime number, right? 17 would be, quite frankly, just, right, a really difficult number to work with. So he rounded up to 18. Okay. It is strange. I'll make a comment. It is strange, by the way, that when he's expressing the circular sukkah and he's expressing the people around, every single person now is outside the sukkah in his expression. I admit that that's strange, but the numbers so don't work out that it's really the only way that we can that we can come up with some sort of agreement between the number that he gave and the number that we actually need. Well, Rav Yochanan, what do you mean? What's his source? He's issuing a psak. I'm confused.
He's saying 18 people. Where does he get that from? That 18 people. Where is that size coming from?
Well, he's saying 24 people.
24.
Right. He's saying 24 people. And now what we're
getting that from?
That's his psak. What do you mean? Where is he getting that from? No. In other words, he believes that that's the correct number. And what the Gemara now is trying to figure out is now that he issued that psak, now we're trying to figure out how do you arrive at that number. So the Gemara spent an amud of Shas trying to figure it out.
So the Gemara estimates pi of 3, estimates root 2 of 1.4, which it underestimates.
Right.
To actually use the real number, 1777.
I
think it's actually reverse engineering.
I really appreciate you. I did that this morning also.
Yeah.
Right, correct. Okay. I don't know if, whatever. I'll just repeat. What David's pointing out is that if you operate not with the not with the rounded numbers of 3 to 1, but you just actually plug in the numbers as we know it. So then what you're going to come out or arrive at is a number that's much closer to what Rav Yochanan's expressing. Right. And right. I figured the same as well. Okay. So, fine.
No, but he came out with a number 24 because he wanted to have a square of 4 by 4.
Even with all that, his number is exceedingly larger than what's necessary. Right, good. So that's what the Gemara tried to do today, is figure out how do we get from his number of 24 to what is actually needed. And again, by the way, I said this at the beginning, and now I'll say at the end, as we just concluded, mind you, by the way, that it's an oddity that all of this is only working and operating with the starting point of you need a sukkah 4x4 amas, right? La halacha, we don't need a sukkah 4x4 amas. La halacha, we only need a sukkah that's just a shade over one amma. So it is a curiosity that Rav Yochanan is passing like Rebbe, and meanwhile the halacha is not like Rebbe. So the entire discussion that we had is great. It's Torah. In other words, the last 20 plus minutes is Torah. But at the same time, in terms of halacha, it doesn't come out to be halacha lamaisa. Now, of course, halacha lamaisa, all we're going to do now is just simply take what our sukkah is, a 7x7 tefachim, and we'll do the math. And we'll come out to a circular sukkah, and we'll be able to figure out the dimensions. So just, in other words, take above formula, plug in, and you get to kasher sukkah. Okay. Rabbanan de Kesari va'amri la Dayana de Kesari amre. So just one more point of geometry for today. And that is a comment that was made by either the rabbis or the judges of Kesari, and they said the following. Igula denafak mikol rivu or riva. So the first statement that they made, so we've already expressed today, the relationship between circumference and perimeter of a square when the circle is in the square. Again, picture number one. And the relationship is 3 to 4. Good. We did that earlier. Rabbanan de Kesari expressed that. That's wonderful. The next comment of Rabbanan de Kesari is where basically the train departs the rails. So Rivu denafak migo igula palga. So the Gemara says, but you want to know the relationship between a circle that is around the square, or let's say better, the square is inscribed in the circle. Oh, so there the relationship is palga. Or, in other words, using a ratio, it's 2 to 3. Okay, now, the relationship is 2 to 3. It's not even close. In other words, right? You do the look. You look at a perimeter of a square, and you look at the circle that inscribes the square. In fact, we just did that. Meaning, let's go with the example that we used this morning, right? Of a square being 4x4 amas, so the perimeter is 16. Then the circle that goes around it is 16 4/5. That's nowhere near a ratio of 2 to 3. Okay, so this second comment of Rabbanan de Caesarea is very difficult to understand, to figure. It just simply, the numbers simply don't work. And the Gemara immediately says, Velohi, Da'aka chazina, de lo havi kulehai. And the Gemara says, and it's not true, it's not even close to that. Okay, so there is a lot to be gained. We're not going to do it now, in terms of trying to understand and justify Rabbana de Caesarea on statement number two. Okay, for homework, for myself and for you. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but for homework for myself and for you. So, try to understand what they were describing at a ratio of 2 to 3. In other words, they're looking at the same thing you and I are looking at, right? And they're smart. So they obviously were trying to express something. What they were trying to express obviously doesn't work out in terms of what we're discussing. Okay, so there is value to that. And when I say there's value to that, by the way, Tosel spends time trying to understand what Rabbana de Caesarea was trying to describe in their second statement. Mind you, by the way, that again, they're not, mathematically, they're not right. But mind you, by the way, that the way they express it, going back to Rav Yochanan, does explain how Rav Yochanan got to a number of 24. Meaning, right, the relation, if they're right, which they're not, right, we all understand. But if they're right, so that means that the perimeter of the sukkah, of a minimum sukkah, is 16, right? The four by four sukkah has a perimeter of 16. Now, if I went with the Rabbanan de Caesarea numbers, so then what's the circle going to be? 24. Right? I'm not speaking mathematically right now. I'm just explaining how Rav Yochanan can get to a number 24 if you work with those numbers. Okay. So, it just happens to work out that way. But anyway, a reminder, the Gemara spent an Amud today going over the fact that Rav Yochanan's 24 is extraordinarily larger than what we need. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Okay. We're done. We're done with the math for today, for the geometry for today. And I'm a Rebbe Levi, Mishum Rebbe Meir. Okay. Discussions regarding, various huts and booths. Shtei sukkah sheyotzrim. So I got two huts, and one's an exterior and the other's interior. So let's describe this just a little bit. The interior hut, so that's where our worker, our craftsman, he's selling clay cheres, pottery. In the interior, that's where he lives. He's got a bed there. He's got a small kitchenette. Okay. Nice. And also, Rashi describes, he stores all of his wares over there as well. Okay. What's the exterior? That's his storefront. So the exterior is basically where he meets customers, where he sells, but it's not a living facility. It's a storefront. So now, shtei sukkah shel yotzim zulif nimizu apnimis ein sukkah vechayeves bemezuzah vechitzon sukkah patur min mezuzah. So we have two halachas that the Gemara is going to teach us. Each halacha is interesting. As far as the interior is concerned, so it never can become a sukkah. It can't be converted to a sukkah. Even if we, obviously we're describing where the roof is made up of tzchach, but it can't be converted into a sukkah. And the interior is chayv and a mezuzah. Okay? And now as far as the exterior is concerned, so it can be made into a sukkah, upeturim and a mezuzah, and it will be exempt for an excuse from a mezuzah. Now, the Gemara is not going to spend any time with the sukkah halacha. We will, in just a moment, spend some time with that. The Gemara is going to be focused right now, concentrating on the mezuzah halacha. The interior is obligated to mezuzah, the exterior is not. How can that possibly be? So the Gemara says, wait one second. The exterior hut. So it's not his house. It's not residential. It's a store. But you know what it also is? It's a foyer to his house. In other words, how does he get into his house? By walking through the store. So isn't the store now a Beis Achsadra? When you have a foyer that goes into the house, so by definition now, it's going to be Chayv Mezuzah. So the Gemara now wants to know, so why is exterior pater from mezuzah? So the Gemara gives an answer, Mishum Delokfiyah, because it's not a kavua. Now, when the Gemara says it's not a kavua, what's the Gemara describing? The Gemara, Rashi says, the Gemara is describing the interior. Meaning, even his house is, we're not talking about a house, right? The word house over here is to be used loosely. It's a hut. Even the interior is a hut, and the interior is not a makam kavua. It's not a permanent residence. So really, may ikar adin, even the house itself is not chayiv mezuzah min ha-Torah. The chayiv mezuzah on the interior, because it's a hut, is only mid-derabanan. Now, I'm gonna go to the Beis Achsadra, where it's true, it's a foyer, but it's a foyer to something which it itself is not chayiv min ha-Torah, in a mezuzah. So that's why, in this particular scenario, the exterior is not going to be chayiv mezuzah, because the interior is not chayiv mezuzah min ha-Torah. That's effectively the Gemara's answer. What the Gemara does not explain, and it absolutely needs an explanation, is what about the sukkah halacha? Right? The interior can never double as a sukkah. The exterior could double as a sukkah. Why should that be? So Rashi over here writes, I'm paraphrasing, Rashi over here writes that the interior can be viewed as a, sorry, the interior cannot be viewed as a sukkah because the interior is where he lives. And therefore what? Therefore, it's his year-round, residence. What does the sukkah require? Say, may diras keva, and go to a diras arai. You have to leave your residence in order to go into a sukkah. Now, in tomorrow's daf, this is a great preview to tomorrow. In tomorrow's daf, when you build your sukkah, does it have to be lishem sukkah? It's machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel says it does not have to be lishem sukkah.
Take a sunroof.
Okay, well, I'll come back. I'll come back to your point. So in tomorrow's daf, we're going to learn together that a sukkah does not have to be made lishem sukkah. That's true. And Rashi over here notes that, right? Rashi points to tomorrow's daf. Even though it doesn't have to be made lishem sukkah, but nevertheless, it cannot be the place you live year round, right? It does not give an appearance of a sukkah. In other words, it sounds like the way Rashi is describing it, and I'm not reading the Rashi inside, and I encourage you to do so. It sounds like the way Rashi is describing it is that the issue over here is appearances. Rashi doesn't use the language of Marzion, but something along those lines. And so because you live there year round, so therefore it simply can never really gain the appearance of a sukkah. The storefront, on the other hand, you don't live there. So now for sukkahs, if you decide, you know what, I'm going to convert that into a sukkah, that's great. That's not where I live year round. That, Rashi says, is the difference between the interior and the exterior. It seems to be like a Maris Ayin issue, if you will. Okay. So, on the interior exterior, so two halachas that were said. Number one, the interior requires a mezuzah, the exterior does not. The Gemara explains the difference. In terms of sukkah, the interior cannot be converted into a sukkah, the exterior can. Rashi explains the difference. And again, you can go much deeper into this Gemara, but at least we gave a working explanation of the Gemara. Tana Rabban, let's finish up the daf today. Ganvach sukkas goyim. Sukkas nashim, sukkas behem, sukkas kusim. Sukkah mikol makom, ksheiro v'vad shetem, sukkachas keochasa. So the Gemara treats us to a brisa, and the brisa describes a sukkah ganvach. Ganvach, obviously, is an acronym, and it stands for a sukkah that was made either by a non-Jew or by a woman, or it was made for animals, or it was made by kusim. Now, it says goyim, it says kusim, presumably they're one and the same. Kusi over here could actually mean a kusi, regardless. The point is that it is a sukkah that is either constructed by someone who's not obligated in sukkah, right? A woman's not obligated in sukkah. Non-Jew obviously doesn't have mitzvahs at all. So, or it's made for an animal. So in any event, the sukkah is going to be a sukkah kshera. In other words, it's fine. Again, we paskin like Beis Hillel that the sukkah does not have to be made lishem sukkah. So it's fine. Provided, there's two provisos at the end. One proviso at the end. It has to have the proper schach. Now, my keochasa, so I'm Rav Chisda, v'hushasa, litzel sukkah. In other words, it has to be made litzel. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to learn together that we possibly like Beis Hillel. It doesn't have to be made lishem sukkah. On the other hand, it needs to be made litzel. The whole purpose of its creation is that it's to provide shade. Okay. So, and mikol makom. And it says that it's a sukkah mikol makom in any regard. The brisa over here is obviously pointing to these sukkahs, although, we'll call them inferior sukkahs, but there's actually another subset of sukkah that's even more inferior, and yet they're okay as well. How does the Gemara know that? Because the Braisa said the words mikol makom. Okay, so to which the Gemara now wants to know, what is that a reference to? La'asuyei mai. La'asuyei sukvas rakvash. So the Gemara says, well, even a more substandard sukkah would be sukkas rakvash. Also an acronym, what does that stand for? The Gemara now is going to describe. Tan Rabbanan. We're going to see another Braisa. Sukkas rakvash. Sukkas ro'im. Shepherd's hut. Sukkas kayatsim. The person who's drying fruit, right? The kayats is figs that are basically being out to dry. And either the hut is for the drying purposes or the hut's for the person watching the drying fruit. Either way. Sukkas borgenin. Again, another hut that's being used by hunters and trappers. And again, it's a really temporary dwelling. Sukkas shomrei peros, or sukkas that's used by the guards. A guard gate. So sukkah mikol makom kshero vavashtei mesachachas keochasa. And over here, the Braisa makes the same point, and that it is a kosher sukkah. Again, it doesn't have to be made l'shem sukkah. We pass like besol, but at the same time, though, it needs proper schach. So my keochasa. Now here again, we know already the answer. What does it mean keochasa? So I'm rav chista v'ushasa letzel sukkah. Letzel sukkah. Okay, it has to be properly shaded and made for shade. So mikol makom lasuy emayim. What's the mikol makom coming to add? Lasuy sukkas ganvach. It's coming to include sukkas ganvach. Okay, so now, if I could be clear, we have two braises that are back-to-back, each one of them explaining huts that are substandard. The first braise gave us four examples of substandard sukkas, but even though they're substandard, they still operate as sukkas, meaning they could work as a sukkah for sukkas. Sukkah does not have to be made l'shma, but it does have to be made for shade. So our sukkah, so to say, they're quote-unquote the standard sukkah. These sukkahs that we're describing in these two braisas are substandard. Now, in braisa number one, so basically the substandard sukkah is ganvach, goyim, nashim, behema, and kusi. And then the braisa says there's even a substandard, which the braisa doesn't reference. What is that? That's the rakvash, right? All these guard huts. Okay. So in braisa number one, it gave us a list of substandard, and it referenced even substandard. In Braisa number two, it's the same point, but Braisa number two just gave a different hierarchy. In Braisa number two, the rakvash, all these guard huts, so they're substandard. And then there's even a substandard. What are they? Ganvach. So what comes out now is that really the only difference between Braisa number one and Braisa number two is just the pecking order. Meaning in both Braisas, all these sukkahs are kosher. All eight of these sukkahs are going to work, as long as it's made for tzel. It's just a question of how do they view it in terms of a hierarchy? What's a substandard and what's a substandard? So, and the Gemara now, for the end of today's daf, is just going to simply articulate, well, why should that be? Why do the two braises argue in terms of what is sub and what's sub-sub? So, haitana de ganvach, alima le ganvach. So, as far as braise number one is concerned, so ganvach is not standard, and it is substandard, but it's still better than the rakvash. Why? So mishum dekvia, because a sukkah that's built by a goy or by a woman, so it's true, it's substandard. But nevertheless, these are structures. In other words, right? Structures that are meant to last for a while. Vekatani mikom makom lasuya rakvash lo kvia. And in braisa number one, the rakvash sukkahs are even a grade lower. And they're a grade lower because these guard huts are not meant to be there even on a long-term basis. Meaning they're just there for the purposes of guarding the fruit or guarding whatever. We don't plan on leaving them up permanently. We just put them up there, makeshift. Okay. But again, it would certainly serve as a kasher sukkah. It's just that in braisa number one, as a hierarchy is concerned, we're going to start with the ganvach sukkahs, which are more permanent in nature, and then we go down to the rakvash sukkahs. Now in braisa number two, v'haitana de rakvash, alima le rakvash. Now in braisa number two, so the rakvash sukkahs are substandard, but the ganvach sukkahs are even a grade below. Now why? So de b'nei chiyuv aninu, to which the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says that the rakvash sukkahs, so they're made by people that are chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah. the as opposed to the. As opposed to the, as opposed to the, as opposed to the ganvach sukkahs are made by people that are below, that, I'm sorry, that are not chayv in sukkah. V'tanami kama kama lasui ganvach tala b'nei chiyuv aninu. Okay, they're made by people that are not chayv in the mitzvah. That's why they go even a level below.
By people or for people?
Okay, right. Agreed. Agreed. Excellent point. So presumably it, right. The easiest way to understand it is that it's made for a behema. But you're right. In other words, not made by, but made for. Okay. Good. Let's quickly review. We finished the daf. Okay. First part of today's daf is to take a square sukkah and to make it circular. And to make a long story short, so all you do is you take the hypotenuse of a kasher sukkah, and you then use that as your diameter in order to make your in order to make a circular sukkah. Okay, that's all of Amud Aleph. Now the reason why it went a little bit longer than just how I summarized it is because we started with a statement by Rav Yochanan who says that the circumference is made up is comprised of 24 people, and then we just the Gemara nearly lost its mind because how did he get to such a large number? How did he arrive at such a large circumference? So that's why the Amud Aleph of today's daf occupies so much time. I mean, so much time. I mean, you know, we did a short version of it, but that's what we tried to figure out on the Amud Aleph. In the course of doing so, we got to work with numbers. We got to learn a little geometry together. Okay, it's a successful day. And then on the Amud Beis of today's daf, first we went over two statements by the Rabbanan Dayan of Kesari. The first statement is perfect. The second statement really requires a lot of thought, and we did not give it the proper thought that it deserved. But nevertheless, talking about the relationship between a circle inscribed within a square and then a square inscribed within the circle. Circle inscribed within a square, the relationship between a perimeter to circumference is 3 to 4. Okay, that's basically correct. Again, operating with their assumption that a circumference is 3 to its diameter. Okay. The second statement of Rabbanan de Kesara, so really hard to understand. They talked about the relationship between a square inscribed within a circle, and they described it as a relationship of 2 to 3. Okay, that's really hard to understand. Again, more attention can be given to it. We did not give it its proper attention, but we moved on. And the second half of today's daf, right, on the Amud Beis, so we talked about various structures, whether or not they could be used as sukkahs. The first case that we described this morning was a sukkah, two huts that are used by a person, one interior, the other exterior. The interior is where he lives. The exterior is the storefront. The interior cannot be converted into a sukkah and it requires a mezuzah. The exterior can be converted into a sukkah and does not require a mezuzah. The Gemara explained the difference between, in terms of mezuzah. Rashi explained the difference in terms of sukkah. Good. And then the last thing that we did is that, substandard huts. Can they be used as a sukkah? The simple answer is yes. Despite the fact that they're made by people who are not chayv in the mitzvah. Despite the fact that we don't plan on leaving them up full for a long time. Nevertheless, as long as they're made letzel, as long as it's made for shade, so that will be sufficient. Tomorrow, we get to a very basic machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not a sukkah needs to be made lishma, meaning l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel's a mekel. Good. That's tomorrow. And good. And tomorrow we get to see our second Mishnah of the Masechta.